This is NBC News Radio.
Diversified radio station on the dial, AM 1050, KCAA.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignore these conspiracies online. Out the window, visions of the earth. Sign me up now, make sure you use your smile. Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Would your children
side. Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Smart Health Talk, and we're doing our countdown to Earth Day because Earth Day is coming up April 22nd. And if you just listen to our theme song, then you know that Earth Day is probably a special day to us, because in the song it talks a lot about Mother Earth and the type of things that we're doing to the planet right now. And I just wonder if we really looked around and saw everything that we've built and created, if there's some things out there that maybe we regret a little bit and would do better and change if we could. And there's no reason that we can't start right now to make some of those changes for the future. And that's why we've launched our Countdown to Earth Day campaign, where we're posting our theme, pictures from our theme for Earth Day, which is our children remind us that every day is Earth Day. And we started to do that because we, first of all, we wanted to do a countdown because we realized that, you know, Earth Day falls on Sunday. A lot of people don't hear about Earth Day until it's actually Earth Day. And that's usually what would happen to me. And then I go, oh, it's Earth Day. And it's like I really didn't have a chance to really think about just how important Earth Day is. And what does that really mean? And what does it mean to us personally, and what we can do to make the world a better place and the planet, our country, a better place, too, is a good place to start. And also in within our own community. And then we can look at, like, what can we do within our own personal life. And so I wanted to give people a chance to kind of absorb that a little bit and start to get on track thinking about Earth Day. And so when Earth Day comes, maybe it'll actually have a little bit more meaning to everyone. So those of you that haven't joined us on Facebook and Twitter, I really wish that you would go and look for us and join us so that you can get, we send out tweets and post different articles on Facebook, new information that's coming out related to your health and environment and all kinds of things. We're always posting those, keeping our eye out for the latest things that are going on and things that could really have a big impact on your life. So for our countdown to Earth Day, I couldn't ask for a better guest than we have on Smart Health Talk today. And that's because this person is just has so much experience in organic farming. And organic farming is a critical part of our efforts to try to clean up the earth and take carbon out of the air and increase nutrition in our food and decrease disease. And there's just so many things that organic farming can contribute as opposed to industrial conventional farming, which actually is doing all of the opposite things that organic farming does. And so DAG has, we'll find out what his experience comes from, but he's also been a friend of mine for a very long time, and a friend and one of those people that you just have a lot of respect for and their integrity and who they are and what they try to do with their life. And that's who Dag is to me. And so Dag Flack, he's actually one of those foragers that go out there and work with farmers directly. He works for Nature's Path Organic Foods, which is the largest organic cereal company in the world. They're owned by the Stevens family and have been a leader in the organic industry from practically as long as I can remember, over 25 years. And it's because of companies like Nature's Path that we have the kind of organic choices that we do nowadays, because they are the ones that bit the bullet, and even when it seemed impossible to keep the company going, they still stuck with their beliefs in organic farming and getting the best quality food to people. And Dag has been the one out there making sure that they had all the raw materials that they needed to make all of their different products that they offer, which are quite a few. And without him, they may not have any product, you know, like a year or two from now if he doesn't do his job right. So he is an expert in organic farming, and he's going to teach us all about it today. So, Dag, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you here. This has been one of my goals, was to have you on the show, because I knew there were just so many things that I could learn from you, first of all, and I never get tired of learning. I always want to find out new things. Because it's fascinating. This has to do with every part of our life, these kind of things that are going on. And so, first of all, Dag, why don't you just, you know, tell us about your background?
Well, I grew up not on a farm, but I was interested in agriculture from a young age, and so it just kind of drew me. And so I studied agronomy in Norway. I grew up in Norway. And got interested in what I learned there, although I was not really happy with everything that I learned in school, because you know, they were teaching conventional agricultural methods. Now there's an option of actually learning organic methods in universities and in schools, but back then there was really nothing but the conventional model. And so, you know, I was taught how much spray to put on land, how I needed to learn how to talk to bankers to buy bigger and bigger equipment to farm with, and you know, everything was like scaled to industrial farming. And so I was more interested in you know, back then what we thought of as natural farming, or, you know, organic wasn't really even a word back then. And so I was always interested in that. And then I moved to Canada in my early 20s, and then I was offered a job years later as the first organic inspector for a group of organic farmers that had formed an association for certifying themselves. This was before the government had gotten involved in organic certification. And they hired me on as their first inspector. And so that was really when the organic certification system got put together. And so I was lucky to be there at that time and learned and grew with the industry. As the industry evolved, or the movement evolved, I grew with it, and you know, subsequently got very involved. I worked for 15 years as an organic inspector, both of farms, large and small, and organic processing facilities. And so on the board of the Independent Organic Inspectors Association. I've taken a lot of training and given a lot of training because of my experience, you know, that I've gained from being part of this for such a long time. And so that's kind of how I ended up where I am now. And I've worked now for Nature's Path as the Organic Program Manager for this is my 10th year.
I thought it was about 10 years. That was a good guess. So you've really seen. I'm fascinated with the fact that Norway, you know, even back then was like such a heavy user of industrial farming methods.
They were very excited about it, and I remember at that time they were just inventing desiccation of potato, you know, the potato plant before you know, at the end of the season, and the potato plant on above the ground, it dies, and the conventional system, the original system, I should say, now we use the word conventional, it gets kind of confusing, but because we use it about chemical farming, but conventional is really the original system of farming. And so always farmers would just, they would cut the potatoes at the end of the season before they would pick the potatoes out of the ground. And, you know, they would scythe it down or use equipment to cut it down. And then they would wait for a couple of weeks for the greenery to die down. And then they would go in and pick, you know, dig into the soil and dig the potatoes out. And they were so excited when I went to school that they had discovered that they could actually just spray this and kill it. And they call it desiccate. And so they would have a strong chemical that they would spray on there, and it would just wilt. And within 3 days, they could go in and pick the potatoes. And so they saved themselves a couple of weeks of time. And I was horrified at the idea because I thought, well, this is the land that you're going to grow potatoes on next year as well, or some other crop that people are going to eat. And, you know, how can this poison that's going to absolutely wipe out all this this greenery that's living on there in within 2 days, two, 3 days, how can that not have an effect? And so you know, that's just the way it was and still is. Those are the methods. You can be assured that if you're eating non-organic potatoes, that's the method that it will have been harvested through.
Well, yeah, I would think that it would, like, still kind of going down into the soil and still get into the potatoes that were underneath the soil, that somehow it would leach down in there. And I actually do have some other questions about potatoes that I'd like to talk about when we come back from our break, because I've been told that those are one of the foods that you really should try to make sure that you get organic. So I've got some more questions on that. So everyone stay tuned, and we're going to come back and continue this conversation with Dak and learn more about organic farming.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone, and we're here doing our countdown to Earth Day with Dag Flack, who's in charge of the purchasing program for raw materials and working with farmers. And I'm sure he wears, like, many hats over at Nature's Path and has been working with them for 10 years and is an expert in organic farming. And we were, you know, I just wanted to mention that, like, one of the things that always really impressed me about you, Dag, was your passion about making sure that people had good quality food. And I felt like that was something that we shared in common. It's like you actually got it. You know, it's hard when you understand the importance of organic, but a lot of other people around you don't quite get it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's something that's often hard to explain. And for me, having talked to a lot of people about it and, you know, gauge their response to what I have to say, I find that if people have had an experience of growing food or even plants like house flower, potted plants or whatever, then that gives a background for understanding the process of growing more. And I think it's more self-explanatory why there might be a concern with putting pesticides, for instance, on soil where you're growing, you know, a food crop. It just kind of makes sense because you know you've touched that soil with your own hands. You've mixed it up, you know, put the seeds in there. You've watered it, and you've had the patience to wait for that seed to actually come to life. and you've seen that process of transformation from just a seed to a growing plant, and you've seen how the soil, you know, if you don't have good soil, if you have too hard-packed soil or whatever, you always want to make sure that that soil is really good. And you understand that there's a connection between that thing that grows out of that soil and the soil. So then if you put something toxic on there, it's kind of self-explanatory that can't be just good, you know.
I would get really emotional about it. When I started learning about how heavy duty these pesticides were that they were putting on food and then people were eating those, I just wanted to go and like run and snatch food out of people's hands and say, "Don't eat that. It has poison on it." And
yeah,
I could never get behind pushing those products or selling those products after I knew that.
Yeah, and yet at the same time we hear, you know, daily we are assured by scientists and governments that say, well, you know, we've tested this and they're all safe levels, you know, they're very minute levels and don't worry, it's going to be fine kind of thing, we can handle it. But even with that, I think a lot of people are now starting to question that more and more. And what we're finding is more and more science is now coming up with uncovering that these very minute levels are still having an effect. A negative effect. So, you know, what we've kind of known, or what I've believed for a long time without necessarily having the science behind it from the early days,
mm-hmm.
now science is coming around and showing that, indeed, you know, there are concerns.
Well, I think the potato, kind of going back to the potato, is a good example, because I was always told that, you know, there can be something like 20 different pesticides on one potato, and I'm thinking, like, how could that even possibly be? How many stages along that potato's like growth are they applying pesticides, and what are all these different pesticides for? I mean, is there any truth to that? And do we end up with kind of a chemical cocktail within that vegetable because of all these different applications of different types of chemical pesticides and growth inhibitors? And
it is true that potatoes is one of the worst crops for us.
That's what the vegetable we eat the most of. That's why I say that.
In terms of residues, it comes from a couple of things. One is that it's a monocrop that tends to be grown on conventional farms or non-organic farms, tends to be grown on the same piece of land year after year after year for like 20 years or more. And so that, you know, that's the opposite of a balanced ecosystem. You created a more and more specialized system, and nature abhors that. And so what nature does is it tries to come in and break down what you're trying to force on it, having the same crop grown over and over and over again.
Can you explain that, Dad? Kind of like take us back, take us back to the soil level and explain to us, like, because that's where I think people don't really see the difference. They don't really understand that as a fertilizer that has like over 100 different nutrients in it, where when you use like a chemical petroleum fertilizer like a conventional farmer would use, they only get like a handful of nutrients versus what an organic farmer would apply.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the understanding of the health of the soil, I guess, is probably the least understood aspect of organic. We tend to focus on the lack of pesticides. But really what organic is understanding the importance of the health of the soil and nutrients for the roots of the plants. And so that's in nature, that's the only way that root plants and roots of plants are provided with nourishment. There, in nature, there's no bag of fertilizer that you can put on there. So, you know, we've seen old forests, you know, with big, humongous trees that have grown for thousands and thousands of years. And you can walk through those forests and in awe. And remember, when you see that, is that there was no chemical fertilizer, there was no pesticide, there was no man-made management of that system. Nature created that.
So that's a good point.
Just by things starting to grow and then the needles and the leaves and whatnot falling over, and then the microorganisms on the top of the soil breaking that down, and then the microorganisms deeper in the soil starting to use that material and break it down, and then that providing more nourishment, making the trees and the things that are growing on the land able to grow more and more and flourish more and more. So that's the system that organic is trying to mimic and copy. And we've you know, that's the really the claim to fame for organic, is that we've been able to learn systems, that we've built a systematic way of doing that, where we are creating fertile soil in a repeatable way with a system that we know anybody can go out and do it. Just follow these systems and you can do it. And what we can do is we can create yields and crops equal to what the conventional farming can provide. But what the, and like I say, the claim to fame is we do it without resorting to chemical fertilizers, which are, you know, non-renewable fossil fuels.
Okay, wait, just a second. I want to make sure that I got this right, because we have a less than a minute here. We have to go to break. But I just, before we leave, I want to clarify what you just said, because this goes against all, you know, what people have heard for years is that, you know, there's no way that we can feed everybody with organic farming. It's just not possible. And what you're saying is you've actually been able to mimic the same amount of yields with conventional farming that they said would always produce higher yields than organic, but you've been able to actually achieve that same level of yields with organic.
There are several studies out now that prove that is the case. On average, the yields, when you first transition to organic, the yields will drop. But after 3 to 5 years, the yields are equal. And in some years, when you have droughts, because organic is more drought resistant, for instance, you have higher yields than conventional.
Well, I know that there are a lot of other benefits to organic that we haven't even touched on, and I definitely want to get into those too, because I want, for Earth Day, people to understand the importance of, maybe for Earth Day, one of the goals that you could set is to just add at least one organic meal. I'd love it if you do that every day. But even if you could start a few times a week, I'd be happy about that. So keep that in mind, and we're going to come back, and we're going to try to convince you on why you would want to do that. So stay tuned.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone, and we're here celebrating our countdown to Earth Day with Dag Flack, and he's from Nature's Path Organic Foods, which is the world's largest organic cereal company. And Dag has many years of experience working in farming and directly with farmers and helping them transition from conventional to organic so that they can someday become a supplier for Nature's Path, which I think is really awesome part of your job that you do. And Dag was taking us down to the soil level here, and we're trying to understand about organic farming, why it's so important, how is organic food different, why does it give you more value, and why is it worth the extra money that you spend on it. And I just find all of this fascinating. Dag, you know, when you get into the soil and actually see how the soil works and how, you know, the different microorganisms work in the soil and how they unlock nutrients for the plant and feed the plant, it really is fascinating, isn't it?
It sure is, yes. Certainly it's caught my attention.
Well, I this is something I've thought about for a very long time, because my grandparents were farmers and they always had their own garden. And then when I started learning about, you know, there's different kinds of food than that great homegrown food that my grandparents always made sure that we had available to us. it was just such a difference in taste and all that. And so I started researching it more, and that some of the farming research that you were talking about as far as testing different kinds of farming methods. One thing I'd like people to understand is the testing that was done was very well done. It was set up as a well-designed study. Past studies where they tried to say, you know, that you couldn't achieve higher yields, plus we've learned more about organic and that, but also the nutritional value of organic versus conventional, which is a big deal to me. They say, oh, well, we have no proof, you know, that there's more nutritional value in organic versus conventional. And I'm just like, that just, to me, that just doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem logical when you have so much more nutrition available to the plant. Isn't that what happens?
Yeah, there's two ways that more nutrition can be, you know, in an organic plant or food. One is because the microorganisms are feeding the soil, you know, feeding the plants, and that's the natural system. That's the most natural way for a plant to live. So it's kind of like tailor-made for the health of that plant. And of course, if the plant is healthy, it's gonna have more of that health in it, which is translates into vitamins and nutrients for us who eat the plants. But then there's also the not using artificial fertilizers, which are, you know, they're like if you consider a child, you know, calories is what we live on, calories. So, but if you feed a child calories like sugar and nothing but that, you know that they're gonna get really hyper for a very short period of time, and then they're gonna crash.
And they're going to have a deficiency after a while.
Yeah, and it's not sustainable. You can't feed a child. A child isn't going to grow healthy and strong after years of just eating sugar. But at the same time, you can't say that sugar, it doesn't have energy. Yes, it does have energy. Well, chemical fertilizers is kind of similar to that in many ways. It has that. It's going to give a boost to the plant. There's no doubt it's going to give a boost to the plant. But the plant is going to grow faster than it's meant to grow, and without building the underlying health, so that they're not as strong. They're like weak plants. And even though they're sometimes bigger and they've grown faster, there's more water in the plants, and there's less density, less nutrient density.
And oh,
studies
really?
Are starting to show that now as well, is that there's more what they call empty calories in conventional food versus in organic food. Or the organic food, even though sometimes the apples are a little smaller, or, you know, it's because it's more food there.
Well, how can you build something out of nothing? You know, if you don't have the nutrient there and there's a place for it, then it would seem that there isn't going to be an empty place where there should be a nutrient. But the nutrient wasn't there, so the plant just, you know, it couldn't do anything. And I really believe that, you know, this is the key, you know, on learning how to create more nutrient-dense foods, so that when we eat foods, we're getting more nutrition out of those foods, because we know that nutrition is what keeps us healthy, it gives us energy, it prevents disease, you know, all the things that we want. Now, I wanted to ask you, you know, I like that you mentioned about the water, because water is like becoming such a precious resource on this planet. And when you look at conventional farming versus organic farming, what are the differences in the amount of water that's necessary? Because I know that there were a lot of farmers in California that couldn't even farm because there wasn't any water.
Yeah, you will always need water to grow anything. You know, if you have desert conditions, you won't be able to grow anything, and that's going to be true for organic as well as non-organic. The difference lies in organic building of the soil. That includes building up the soil structure, so what we call the tilth of the soil, so the fluffiness, and that's what holds the water, kind of sponginess. So organic soil has a much better capacity of holding moisture. So if you do get a rain or if you do irrigate some, your water is going to last a lot longer than it is in the conventional soil, where the microorganisms have been dying out for a long time, because as you put chemical fertilizer on, it every time it overfeeds the microorganisms. They, like that child I told you about, that gets really excited and then kind of crashes. Well, the microorganisms actually, they die because when they get chemical fertilizers introduced into the soil, they will actually eat it thinking it's a plant that needs to be broken down. And then they get high and they actually expire. And so every time you put chemical fertilizer on, you're killing more microorganisms. And that tilth in the soil, which is part of what the microorganisms create, the tilth that holds the moisture, that holds the water, it also disappears. So over time, you have soil that will hold less and less water. And in organic systems, of course, we're working the opposite direction. We're creating more and more tilth. And so we're holding more, you know, more, building the capacity of the soil to hold water more and more.
So
and
it wastes less. It'll waste less water that way.
So it wastes less water. And that's why organic tends to have higher crop yields in years of drought compared to conventional. Because
well,
the conventional
that is awesome.
The soil doesn't have the ability to hold the moisture.
To me, that is just like, that's huge because we're experiencing drought all over this country right now. We have like fire watches, you know, and it hasn't even like started to be summer yet. And we've got fire watches over like a third of the country.
Right.
So, you know, we need to learn not to waste water. And we have just a couple minutes before we have to go to our other break. But something I was hoping that you could explain is how organic actually reverses the amount of carbon in the air, because they use different cover crops like vetch, which actually pulls the carbon out of the air, and then it's able to put it into the soil. Can you explain how that works?
Well, it's actually very similar to what I explained about the water retaining ability. It's because those microorganisms that live in that soil, there's many billions of them, the functions of many of those microorganisms is actually to hold the carbon. So it locks it into the soil. And so
it's reversing global warming in a way.
That's right. Yeah, the soil has a great capacity for holding carbon into locking it up. And that's what holding carbon is locking it up, so it's not in the atmosphere, it's in the soil. And studies have shown that organic is actually better at holding carbon in the soil than conventional, and even better than what's called no-till conventional. That's where conventional farming has a system where they don't till the soil. They plant straight. They cut a crop off. They just leave it, and then they plant into that same soil without tilling it between the seasons, and that's called no-till. And it's been quite a popular system, and one of the claims that they make is that it's good for carbon sequestration, you know, holding the carbon in the soil.
I just think that's so cool because really what they do is they just kind of grow all these, they look kind of like weeds, and then they just go and they break them and it creates like a carpet on top of the soil, and they can actually plant underneath that.
Yeah, it's good in a way, but the only way that you can do that system right now is by using chemical sprays.
Oh, really?
To cover the soil.
So the tilling method is actually better.
Yeah, in a way. So, but anyway, that's been the kind of a bit of a discussion between organic and no-till, and it's been found now that because no-till used to say that they sequestered more carbon than organic, but that's only for measuring the top 4 inches of the soil, and that they sequester more carbon in the top 4 inches, but organic sequesters carbon down to 8 inches. So
oh.
The total carbon sequestered by organic methods is actually more than with the no-till. I mean, we're not complaining about the no-till because it's also doing a good job. But the unfortunate part of it is they rely on using pesticides or herbicides to kill all the weeds.
Well, I love the point that you make in that, you know, there's still, like, so much we can learn. We can figure this out. We can figure out how to grow and feed everybody without having to spray all these pesticides. That's what I think is one of the key things that we're learning. And I want to kind of pick your brain on some things that have been happening in the news, too, when we come back and see what your opinion is on it. So everyone stay tuned.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone. We're finishing up on our last segment here with Dag, and I wanted to just ask you a couple of things that were just been in the news, like this week even, and kind of get your opinion on them, and then I thought maybe we could kind of summarize on what we learned today and then get your thoughts on why you think that organic food is important for people. And I feel like we just touched on the tip of the iceberg here as far as like really kind of getting into, you know, why organic farming is important and what the differences are. And so I hope that you can come back sometime and maybe give us a lesson number two on how organic, because I just think that this is so important that people understand how their food is grown and produced, because it really has a big impact on what you get out of it. And what kind of, you know, what's happening inside your body, too, when you introduce all these different chemicals. We really don't know. There's just so many new chemicals out there that we're just putting all these different things in our body at one time, and it's who knows what kind of party they're having in there. But this week, I thought it was really interesting that we've talked a lot on the show about mandatory GMO labeling, which we know that's important because then we can choose whether we want to eat GMOs or not. There's no way except buying organic that we can even know whether there's GMOs in there. Now, a lot of, I think there's like 20 states that are actually starting to introduce this legislation. Vermont was actually close to having a decision and passing this. The people were behind it. There's like getting a lot of, they were getting calls like all the time, people totally supporting this. And then what happened was Monsanto started threatening to sue them if they passed it. And so since then, they kind of like slowed everything down and are having more public meetings. And I actually talked to the representative that introduced that bill. And I think that she's going to be coming on our show either next week or the week after that. And for sure next week, we're going to have Elle Cochran from Hawaii back. She went on another tour on another one of the Monsanto research farms. And so she's going to be telling us what she learned on that tour, which is supposed to be the cream of the crop of Monsanto, those plants that they're the most proud of. But what do you think about GMO labeling? Do you think that that is important?
Absolutely. I think it's crucial. You know, when you look at the history of agriculture, in 1996, that's when the first GMO crop was was planted and commercialized in food crops. And in just a few years later, in 2003, there was already 67 million hectares worldwide planted to GMO crops. And then today, there's 160 million hectares. That's more than double double that amount. And so this is a technology that is brand new. And, within that time frame, you know, we did not have this before. And, you know, plants used to be bred by farmers and agronomists. And now plants are, you know, with this GMO technology, they're being spliced in a laboratory instead of being bred. And this is bound to have outcomes that we don't know yet what that is. And so the right for people to know when something is grown using that method is just it's a basic right.
Well, there are things that we do know, isn't there, Dag? Like, well, I've got one article here that says that they think it's causing, you know, root fungus. We're seeing bugs that we can't kill. We're, you know, that pesticides aren't working anymore. So we're seeing all these side effects from introducing these things.
Absolutely. If you do a search, you'll find that there are a lot of studies that are showing serious questions about it. And some studies may even say that they've conclusively found problems with the technology. But if you rely only on science, just like with organic, you will always find scientists and even governments saying that pesticide residues are perfectly safe. It's not going to harm you at all. Now, personally, I take a different view, and I have the right to take that different view. That's why I eat organic as much as I can. And it's the same with GMOs. I may not believe that, you know, doing this very different way of you know, instead of breeding plants, taking DNA from one plant or one species, like a bacteria, and splicing it into a plant in a laboratory, I personally don't believe that that's necessarily safe. And I have the right to follow my own beliefs, just like everybody does.
I agree with you. And we only have a couple minutes left, but I wanted to ask you another question, too. Like, because we talked about the soil. When you have like a super healthy soil and you have a super healthy plant, isn't insects not as much of a problem?
In organic, we deal with insects and weeds by having a balance. So instead of demanding absolute purity or like absence of weeds and insects, we have a balance so that there's good insects and bad insects and they live in a balanced system. And a balanced ecosystem, so that one eats the other, and none gets out of hand. And
that's how
organic.
Kind of like in our own digestive system, when something gets out of control.
Right.
And then, okay, well, we have like 1 minute left. So, Dad, can you give us like some last thoughts on what you would like to say to our listeners
Yes. I think that one of the exciting things of our times is that, you know, that if we're concerned about things like the way our agriculture system is being done and everything. One of the most powerful things that we can do as individuals is to make choices about our diet. And, you know, there's a world population now of about 7 billion people. And there's about, for a typical North American person, we consume about one acre each. It takes about an acre to grow the food that we eat. So if we make a choice to go organic, we're actually taking those toxins off of that 1 acre. So if I eat all organic, then I'm responsible for taking all the chemical fertilizer and all the sprays off of a whole acre of land. And I think that, you know, in this time, we're often discouraged by, you know, what can little me do? You know, what can I do? I'm just one person, and I can't have an effect. But if you think about that, if a million people did that, that would be a million acres.
Wow. I love that.
I think that's a powerful, self-affirming kind of action that we all can take. That's relatively easy. And we don't have to start by going organic diet overnight. We can start by adding one meal a week. Or we can, do a percentage of our shopping every time we go shopping. Make sure we start picking up some organic items. And then learning about, you know, how we feel about the taste, how long it lasts compared to conventional products or produce that we buy. And then see how we feel when we eat it.
My organic produce almost always outlasts my conventional produce. It stores much. I've experimented with that in many years, and organic stores much longer.
Yes, and if you have that experience personally, you are convinced. You know,
That saves money because you throw out, you know, stuff goes bad. That's money down the drain.
That's true too. And then remember that it's more dense, so you get more nutrition per pound.
So you're getting more nutrition bang for your buck, which is like what we like to preach around here.
Yeah.
That's our big saying, getting more nutrition bang for your buck. So thank you so much, Dad. Guy, that is like perfect words of wisdom for our countdown to Earth Day here, that there is something that all of us can do. And, you know, I go through the store. I find things on sale that are organic, and they're just the as much as the conventional, if not less. I will find that many times, and I just posted some Organic Valley coupons. You can find coupons. And, you know, there's lots of different ways that you can save money.
That's a great way to transition into an organic diet. It's just, you know, make yourself a rule. Every time I go shopping, if it's on sale, if an organic item is on sale and it's, you know, less than the same or less than conventional, then I will buy it.
Yeah.
You can start adding to that after. You know, that way you can really start experimenting with it.
See, brilliant minds together, we come up with great ideas. I love that, Dag. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be posting that on our Earth Day, Countdown to Earth Day page that I'm working on. So that's some great advice.
Thank you for doing this show. It's great that we have somebody that, you know, takes these issues and talks about it.
Well, it's people like you that have inspired me in my lifetime, no doubt. So thank you for all your work, Dag. And thanks for joining us today and giving us this great lesson. And Dag will be coming back sometime soon. So everyone, please go to our website and see all the great things that we've been putting up on there. And please sign up with Twitter and Facebook to follow us, because we're always adding new stuff every single day. All right. Stay healthy and buy organic.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Hi, my name is Don Sazi. If you enjoy the Smart Health Talk theme music, visit my website, www.donsazi.com, to hear the complete song, as well as other great music.
Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignored these conspiracies online. Out the window, visions of the earth. Sign me up now, make sure you use your smart. Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Would your children lie? The sea mother nature's
CAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM. The station that leaves no listener behind.